Welcome to the Iowa Style Podcast. I'm your host, Colton Jensen, with my co-host, Trevor Smith, here. This is episode 19, and this is episode three of our 2020 tournament simulations that we're doing here. Session three is backside and quarterfinals. Like we mentioned in our last couple podcasts, which if you haven't listened to, make sure you go download and listen to sessions one and two so you're all caught up and see where we're at. But matches we are just giving to the higher seed until we get to the blood round, just so we can kind of have a team score, have a good idea where that's at. So coming into session three here, team scores are as follows. Yeah, Iowa 17.5, Nebraska and Oklahoma State at 12, Penn State 11.5, Iowa State 11, and Ohio State and NC State both with 10. So that's where we're sitting right now. Are you ready to get the quarterfinals started,
Trevor?
Yeah,
I would just throw in as well that, you know, we're not doing bonus points. We're not factoring those in. So the team scores are just the advancement points and then placement points after we get through this round. So that's why you kind of see those underinflated at this point. But obviously, as we start to get these placement points rolling in, we'll start to see some separation of the teams and then obviously some higher point totals as well.
Yep. So like you said, right now, a lot of those teams kind of bunched up. I was starting to pull away, but after this session, we'll probably see a lot bigger of a jump as teams get those placement points by moving into the semifinals.
Yeah, so let's get the quarterfinals rolling here with 125.
All right, our four matchups at 125 are Spencer Lee against Brandon Courtney, Alex Mackle against Jack Mueller, Nick Piccinini against Michael Colioco, Jacob Camacho against Pat Glory. What matchups here interest you, Trevor?
I think that bottom matchup that you were just talking about there with Glory and Camacho, obviously Camacho hot after the ACC tournament, still ends up with the 10 seed, you know, because he maybe didn't have the best year and peaked there at the end, but knocked Mueller off at ACCs. And so obviously a really dangerous 10 seed that Glory's got to face here in the quarter. So I think that would kind of be the big matchup to watch. Otherwise, you kind of got to – you figure Spencer, you know, the top seeds are all pretty heavy favorites here, just with that last match being a little bit of a toss-up and one you'd want to watch for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Camacho, as a freshman, you know, kind of expected, takes those lumps in the early season and, you know, pays for it by getting a 10 seed, but was able to come back in the ACC tournament and knock off Jack Mueller, who probably would have been the 2 seed had he won the ACCs. Instead, he's rewarded by having Spencer on his side of the bracket. So, yeah, I think, like you were saying, those top 4 seeds are probably the favorites. So, you know, I think we have Spencer, Mueller, Pitch, and Glory all winning. So that sets up some pretty fun blood round matchups for next session. But you get a NCAA Finals rematch in the semis, and I believe 4th – matchup between Pitch and Glory in the semi. So a lot to look forward to at 125.
Yeah, then I think just mentioning the blood round matches, as we're filling out brackets, and, you know, like as a fan, when you're watching it actually happen, unless your guy is on the backside, you don't maybe pay as much of attention, but there is just so many intriguing matchups in that blood round. You know, the time that's been put into a lot of seniors getting to that point and being one match away. And we kept saying with a lot of matches that, you know, guys that fall into that round, it's like, wow, that's a tough match in the blood round. So I just think that's interesting to note as well.
Yeah, especially at this weight, you know, we mentioned these top 4 guys are just a notch above the rest of the field, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, who can really separate themselves. That 5 to probably 12 or 13 range, all those guys, you know, it's a lot dependent on matchups and who's got who to see who's going to crack that Final Four All-American spot.
Yeah, so that takes care of 25. Obviously, big wins for Iowa with Spencer. Continue to get the placement points, but Oklahoma State's got a guy there, and Princeton kind of hanging around with Pat Glory gets him off to a good start.
Yeah, so let's go ahead move to 133. This is the bracket that everybody wants to see. So our quarterfinal matchups, we have Sebastian Rivera against Montori Bridges, RBY against Mickey Phillippe, Chaz Tucker against Austin DeSanto, Sammy Alvarez against Seth Gross. So all of these matchups really, maybe three of the four matchups are really good. I think Seabass will take care of Bridges, no problem. But those other three matchups, I think, have some potential for really exciting matches.
Yeah, you know, Gross and Alvarez have had, what is it, one or two good matches already this year. Everyone wants to see DeSanto and Tucker, how that matchup goes, with Tucker having a, you know, just kind of an, you know, what you want to call it, an easier schedule or whatever, not being in the Big Ten and facing all the guys that all the Big Ten guys have. So how does he match DeSanto? Yeah. I know when that bracket came out and you're looking at it from an Iowa perspective, you got to like that draw, getting Tucker as your three seed. And Tucker might be, you know what I mean? Tucker is a solid guy in his own right, but you know that he hasn't gone through the grind that the guys in the Big Ten have. And then Phillippe up top, just another ACC guy that's tough as nails. Was he the four seed last year as well? So he gets to the quarter.
I think
we've got
so.
Him in the quarters this time, but ultimately we've got the four guys that were in the semis at Big Tens making it back to the semis here at the national tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think the four guys from the Big Ten have really proven that they are probably the top of this class. Obviously, great season that Tucker's had coming in at 31-0. But like you said, hasn't faced the rigor that these Big Ten guys have. I think Tucker's best win is probably Bridges in the finals at CKLV. I do think that Tucker DeSanto match would be a really good match. I know 2 years ago, Tucker actually beat DeSanto in the finals of the EIWA tournament. But Tucker, in his two trips to the NCAA tournament, has gone 1-2. And DeSanto, obviously, in the blood round as a freshman, and then obviously making the podium last year. So I think DeSanto does have the edge there to set up that rematch with Gross. And then that top semi will have a rematch of Seabass and RBY.
Yeah, so a lot of fireworks to look forward there in the next session as well. And then, once again, some exciting blood round matches that will be coming up in the next session.
Yeah, as far as team score is concerned, all four of these semifinalists, their teams are right in the mix right now. Wisconsin a little below the other three, but Penn State and Iowa obviously at the top, with Northwestern right there in the mix of it.
Yeah, so then move on to 41. Got some more exciting quarterfinal matches there. This is just one of those weights where you kind of feel like Luke Fletcher and Nick Lee are the class of the weight. I guess, what else did you take away from these quarterfinal matches?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has pretty much said Fletcher and Lee are the class of this weight. But the big question mark here is three seed Real Woods. You know, he does have that overtime match with Fletcher real early in the year. Fletcher has kind of turned it on since then and has been wrestling really, really well. So it'll be interesting to see where Woods is at in comparison. And then that Demas Parker, a rematch of the Big 12 finals, I think is going to be another excellent match. Parker is just so fundamentally sound and does a really good job of staying out of Demas's, I don't know what you want to call Demas's offense. You know, it's just that crazy style that you never know what he's going to throw at you. And Parker has done a pretty good job over the last couple of years to minimize that and force Demas to wrestle his match.
Yeah, so ultimately we went with Demas in that one. Just, you know, they're about as even as you can get. I know we talked about it quite a bit when we were making that pick, just who we wanted to put in. I don't even know what the deciding factor was. It's just the fact that Demas has beat him before, so you know it can be done, even though Parker's won the more recent match. Really a toss-up there that could go either way, but we've got Demas's kind of style winning out here at the tournament, and then Real Woods knocking out Chad Red to face Nick Lee in the semis.
Yeah, I mean, those semifinal matchups should be real fun. Pletcher Demas, a rematch from the, I believe it was Michigan State Open early on in the year. That one went into, I believe, tiebreakers, if maybe the second set in victory. I mean, that was a really good match between those two. And then, like I said, just really interested to see where Woods is at in comparison with these top-notch guys. And a match against Nick Lee will definitely show us where he's at.
Yep, for sure.
All right, moving on to 149. This was, you know, the only bracket that we had the 1-8 seeds making the quarters. And looks like, for the most part, we had – we had Lugo and O'Connor coming out on top in their matches, but then upsets in the other two quarters. The interesting one here to me is Sasso Kolodziej. Kind of like we were talking with Parker or Demas, Sasso has that funky style that, you know, he baits a lot of people into taking those shots on him, and then he can scramble out of it, and, you know, really, really elusive defensive wrestler. And I think Kolodziej is just too smooth, too fundamentally sound. And I think he stays out of those positions and is able to get one, get a victory over Sasso.
Yeah, do you think Kolodziej not wrestling part of the season maybe helps him be a little fresher as you get to this part of the season? And then, you know, Sasso just being a redshirt freshman, but still just his first year going through the full season. Do you think that has anything to do with, you know, kind of how that matchup would play out?
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of times people don't realize Kolodziej had, you know, 8 or 9 matches in at open tournaments before coming out of redshirt. So it's not like he was sitting on his butt the entire winter. So he's wrestled a lighter schedule to where, you know, his body's probably not as beat up as, you know, Sasso, a guy who went through the rigors of a Big Ten schedule, you know, had to wrestle Brayton Lee 2-3 times, had to wrestle Lugo twice. Both those guys, you know, real physical wrestlers that are going to impose their will if you let them. Kolodziej hasn't had to deal with that. So I think that's definitely an advantage Kolodziej has coming in.
Yeah, and then up on the top side, you got Mahler and Llewellyn, and we ended up going with Llewellyn there. What was – had they split? I can't even remember off the top of my head right now. Or
Mahler beat him in overtime this year.
Okay. Yeah. In
overtime. But like we were saying with the – those max schedules are a lot of times pretty inflated. Although Llewellyn, his record is good and he's a good wrestler, but I couldn't even tell you who his best win is this year. I know his only losses are to Mahler and Lugo, but really not a whole lot of. I mean, I think he's got a win over Thompson and Pohlmeier, but I mean those guys are your 12 and 13.
He's got a
seeds.
Win for Brayton Lee as well, so he's got a.
Oh yes, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so, I mean, and if you can beat Brayton Lee, that means you can go for 7 minutes because Brayton Lee's going to push the pace the entire time. And with Llewellyn able to withstand that, I think gives him a little bit of an edge over a guy like Mahler. Mahler's still just a sophomore. I think Llewellyn's a senior this year, if I remember
correctly. I believe so.
Yeah, so, you know, we gave the nod to Llewellyn there. The Lugo-Deegan match is one that, you know, we kind of mentioned, but that has all the makings to be an upset. We picked Lugo to win the match, but, you know, that's definitely one I could have seen going either
way.
Yeah,
you certainly wouldn't expect bonus out of Lugo in that match. You know, Lugo's not a big bonus point guy anyway, especially now as you start getting to these top eight guys. So, obviously, that one would be tight, we'd imagine, but we said Lugo's just wrestling probably the best he's wrestled since he's been at Iowa for sure.
Yeah, this is definitely the most consistent he's been for an entire season.
So, obviously, you got Princeton and Iowa and Oklahoma State as well picking up some wins for teams that are obviously in the title and trophy contention there.
Yeah, and for backside wins, Colin Purinton from Nebraska, after losing first round, picked up some big backside wins, get all the way to the blood round for Nebraska. So that helps them stay right in the mix for a trophy there.
Yeah, and then you move on to 157, and this kind of, you know, looks a little bit like 141, where you kind of feel like it's the two guys, Deacon and Heidley, on a collision course. It's not to say that there won't be highly contested matches on the way, but, you know, you've got those two winning in the quarters here. And then up on the top side with Deacon, we've got Hartman and Rob in a surprise quarterfinal matchup. And we've got Rob coming away with the win in that one. He's just kind of been wrestling well with the after the third place finish at Big Tens, and just kind of a big win for Nebraska there.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely helps Nebraska. We talked about how, you know, they don't necessarily have those top-tier elite guys like the Iowa and Penn State, and how that kind of hurts them when it comes to being in that hump for a team trophy. So a big tournament from a guy like Rob where, you know, as a 13 seed, you don't exactly expect him to make the semis, but, you know, a really good draw that he took advantage of and, you know, able to take out Delvecchia and Hartman, both guys seated ahead of him.
Yeah, and then you go down to the bottom side and you got David Carr in his first national tournament for Iowa State, taking on Coleman from Purdue. And we said yesterday that would be one exciting matchup that you'd want to be there to witness. But we've got David Carr coming out ahead in that match.
Yeah, I mean, that's a couple of freshmen that, you know, aren't afraid to go out and, you know, neither of them are hesitant. You know, both of them are going to go out there and try and get their offense in. And it's usually when two guys are like that, it results in a lot of excitement for the fans. I know they wrestled in a third and fourth place match at CKLV with Carr coming out on top. So I think he gets the job done here again and is able to move into the semifinals.
Yeah, all those teams somewhat in the trophy contention. So some big wins there.
All right, moving on to 65. This one pretty much goes as you would think. You know, we have Marinelli over Schedule, Isaiah White over Travis Whitlake, Griffith over Shields, and Chenzo over Thomas Bullard. Any of those matchups stick out to you, Trevor?
I'm kind of upset that Griffith ended up with Shields in the quarterfinal because I'd like to see those guys kind of mix in elsewhere. But, you know, obviously Marinelli's got a guy not from the Big Ten and Chenzo's got a guy not from the Big Ten. So there's plenty of mixing there. But I obviously, you know, Griffith gets the win here over Shields. He's already beat him twice. So we've got him into the semis to face Chenzo, which could, you know, set up a big matchup there moving forward. I guess that one kind of stands out. And then Isaiah White and Whitlake, we talked about that. We kind of went back and forth. Whitlake's a pretty solid wrestler, but you said Isaiah White's so tough to score on. And Whitlake, the first time, might struggle to get through that defense of White.
Yeah, White is a guy that I think we mentioned yesterday. It seems like when guys wrestle him for the first time, they really, really struggle to score just because he's so solid defensively. And then I don't know if it's just that getting that feel for him or what, but it seems like the second time guys are able to open up a little bit and have a better time scoring. So I think this first time seeing him, I think White gets the job done and gets a win over the freshman from Oklahoma
State. Yep, so you got Marinelli, White up top in the semis, and Griffith and Chenzo down below. So you got one Pac-12 guy thrown in the mix there with some Big Ten hammers, so should be a fun semifinal round there.
Yeah, and Shields losing to Griffith actually sends him to a blood round matchup with David McFadden. So a couple of All-Americans there in the blood round, and one of those guys will go home their senior year without getting a spot.
Yeah,
on the
we
podium.
Mentioned McFadden getting upset in the first round, but then he's obviously on a tear. Now he's back into the blood round, so a good tournament for him on the backside.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move on to 174 here. And in our first matchup, first quarterfinal, Jacob Oliver of Edinburgh is going to see his Cinderella run come to an end at the hands of Mark Hall. Mark Hall and Kim are obviously the heavy favorites to make the finals here. And the matchup that we had the hardest time deciding the winner on, Bryce Steyer and Dylan Lighty. What was it? They wrestled twice this year with Lighty coming away in both of them. But one was an overtime matchup and one was a 3-2 match. So tightly contested both times. Anything else interesting about that one?
Yeah, I think we just kind of went to the old adage. It's hard to beat a good person three times in one season. So we ended up going with Steyer there, obviously back and forth. Couldn't really decide there. And then down below in the bottom half of this bracket, you got Michael Kemmer kind of staying on the tear that he's on this year, knocking out Skatska. We talked about that. He had a little bit of an interesting, you know, second, third period in that match at the Big Tens, but really, really control, you know, put up enough points to win that match comfortably. And then Cutler from Lehigh, that you said, we've said he's that notch right below Mark Hall and Kemmer. So he's into the semis as well.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Hall and Kim are really the class of this weight, and then Cutler just, you know, one notch below, but still a notch above, you know, the fourth, fifth place guys in this weight class.
And then you move on to, well, I guess, what happened there team score-wise? Is that a big – obviously, Iowa, Penn State.
I mean, yeah, Iowa, Penn State obviously add one. Lehigh and you and I, both teams that are – you know, probably going to finish in the top 10, but just not quite not quite in that trophy range at this point of the tournament.
Yeah, so hopefully that keeps them kind of in the top 10 from a UNI perspective. Getting somebody into the semis will add up some points for them.
Yeah, and UNI's actually got another guy in the semis now, number one seed Taylor Lujan. We have him over Anthony Montalvo in the first quarterfinal. And then Hiley and Dupre, that was a really, really another one that we had trouble deciding who was going to come away with that one. I think they'd split on the season. I know when Hiley won, it was on a ride out in the tiebreakers. So both guys, you know, just right at the same level of, when it comes to talent. But we did end up giving Hiley the edge in that one.
Yeah, and then you drop down below and you got the Penn State-Iowa matchup in that quarterfinal. Obviously, Aaron Brooks has been wrestling really well lately after, you know, the Big Ten title, really. He gets the win there. And then down below, you got the 2-10 matchup between Bolin and Bonacorsi, an ACC battle. I think they've split so far this year. And we've got Bonacorsi coming out on top here, the 10 seed. Seems like somebody kind of always makes a Cinderella run into the semifinals at 184. So he kind of continues that trend for the ACC being well represented there with a 10 seed for Pitt into the semifinals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, Bonacorsi and Bolin have split, but Bonacorsi did get the last one, if I remember. Bonacorsi beat him in the duel, and then Bolin beat him at ACC. Is that how that
I'm
went?
Let me just look that up really quick. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, it looks like Bonacorsi beat him in tiebreaker one in the duel, and then they didn't meet up at ACC's. Because Hiedley knocked off Bonacorsi there in the semis.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously those three guys all really, really close, trading wins with each other all year. So, you know, we did end up going with Bonacorsi just kind of out of a gut feeling. Like you said, there always seems to be a Cinderella at these upper weights, and Bonacorsi is the guy that we picked this
year. Yeah, so one thing about 184, it's kind of interesting. You got two ACC guys, a Big 12 and a Big 10, so really – really well represented weight, not super Big Ten heavy like other weights tend to be. So kind of some good representation here.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move on to 97. And this is one that's kind of the opposite, where it is pretty heavy Big Ten, as three of the four guys we picked to make the semis are Big Ten guys. So we picked Colin Moore over Pat Brucky. Moore really just been the class of this weight all year long. Obviously, coming in undefeated, would have been a finalist for the Hodge had he won a title. In that next match, we have Warner getting revenge over Lane after losing last year at the national tournament to Thomas Lane. We have him avenging that and moving on to the semis to face Moore.
Yep, and then down below, you got Eric Schultz from Nebraska taking on Tanner Sloan, like I said, the pride of Alburnett. And we ended his run there with Schultz getting a big win for Nebraska, obviously wrestling really well into the finals of Big Ten. So he continues that by getting into the semis here at this tournament. And then down below, we got Noah Adams knocking off Aiello from Virginia. Kind of two guys that you don't see a ton of, but Aiello's got the win over Warner at Midland. So really solid in his own right. But Adams having a really good season, so we moved him on into the semifinals there.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this bracket was with Brucky losing to Moore, that sends him down to a blood round matchup with Bruner. So, you know, those two guys coming into the season were probably thought to be, you know, probably second and third, if not third and fourth, you know, in that conversation with Warner right behind Moore, and they're going to end up in the blood round, and one of them isn't even going to be on the podium.
Yeah, that's what we talk about, the heartbreak of the blood round right there. The way things fall, just kind of, you never really know where everything's going to shake out.
All right, so moving on to heavyweight in the last bracket of the day. You know, obviously, Gable Steveson, the heavy favorite here. He's going to knock off Jordan Wood of Lehigh and Matt Stenzel of CMU. We have upsetting Tanner Hall moving to the semis as well.
Yep, and then down below you got Cassiope and Hilger meeting for a third time this year. Cassiope you know, he didn't win by a lot at the Big Tens, but really controlled that match. I think he got a ride out of Hilger. Just kind of put the pressure on the whole time. So it wasn't a huge win, but it was comfortable enough that you feel comfortable picking Cassiope to make it to the semis there. And then Mason Paris just kind of seems like he's climbed so many levels since last year. So he's knocking off Thomas from Pitt there. Obviously, we would like to see Thomas wrestle some of these Big Ten guys. So it's unfortunate we missed out on that one because we think he could have a chance to surprise some guys. But we got Mason Paris moving into the semis there.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas down at that seven seed. It's just hard to know where a guy like that's at when he doesn't wrestle. You know, Paris, Cass, and Stevenson all had a chance to wrestle each other, you know, so you kind of knew where they were. Throw Hilger in there. With a guy like Thomas, you don't really know where he's at this point in the season yet. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. Obviously, Paris is, other than Stevenson, he's been on a roll the entire year. So I think Paris gets by him probably without a whole lot of issue. But it'll be interesting to see where he stacks up in the blood round and moving forward here.
Yeah, so then if you want to take a look at the team scores after this round, obviously we mentioned before things were going to start to shake up a little bit, maybe get some separation. So that's kind of what's happened after this round. We got the backside wins and frontside wins entered in, and you got Iowa out in front with 47.5 points. Penn State now climbed up into second after this session with 32 points. Nebraska still hanging around with their 10 guys that they brought to the tournament in third with 26. And then from there on, you got Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Northwestern, Princeton, and Iowa State all separated by 4.5 points from 21.5 down. So that race for that last spot, last two spots in the team trophy conversation are going to be hotly contested.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about how it was going to spread out a little bit coming into this session. Next session, it's even more so. You know, when you move from the quarters to the semis, you just go up to the sixth place points. A win in the semis obviously gets you from sixth place points to second place points. So a lot of separation will definitely come after this next session that's coming on later tonight.
Yeah, this after this round, the semifinalists, you kind of see that firepower start to take place for Iowa and Penn State, and that's the reason that they're able to overtake Nebraska. You know, we talked about Nebraska's depth, but after this round, we've got 7 guys for Iowa in the semifinals and 5 guys for Penn State. And actually, the next closest team is Nebraska with, they got Schultz, Rob. And who's the other one?
Their other one would be
Schultz, Rob. It's a good... I'm trying to remember right now.
I don't even know who it would be. Are you sure they have 3?
Well, that's what we've got. Mark Jackson. Isaiah White at 65.
Oh, yep. Isaiah White would be the third one.
Yep. So they're represented well there, but not enough to hold off Penn State through this session. So that firepower, like I said, of Iowa and Penn State kind of brings them to the top after this round.
Yeah. So make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at IowaStylePod for updates. And, you know, we put out the team scores after session 2 on our Twitter. And if you want to follow along that way, you can do that. So make sure you have already listened to those first 2 episodes from session 1 and 2. And make sure you tune in later today for session.